A film projector is a storyteller. It does this by taking a film reel that consists of thousands of images. Light is then passed through each frame, projecting an image onto a canvas. These images in sequence can tell us a powerful story of happiness, sadness, or even humor. Our lives in many ways are like a film projector. Every action we take and word we speak builds the narrative of a story God is wanting to tell through us. Even though we all have different backgrounds, we have a choice of what we will project when the light of God shines through us. So what would someone see if they watched the movie of your life? Would they see light or darkness? Would they see life or death? Would they see love? Would they see grace? Would they see faith? Would they see Jesus?
Spirits. salvation is given. And not just man's salvation, but God's salvation. He is letting us know how we can be saved, how we can get to heaven, how we can have a relationship with Him, how we can have that burden of our sins lifted from ourselves. F.F. Bruce said this. He said, "There's no telling what may happen when people begin to study the epistle to the Romans." Now, here's some examples. Maybe you've heard this name before, Augustine. Aurelius Augustine was born in North Africa in the 4th century. His town sat among the woods near the Mediterranean. His father was a pagan, but his mother Monica, there you go, see, was a devout Christian. Augustine was an undisciplined child who became an immoral young adult. He also joined a cult, and for years he broke his mama's heart. And Monica prayed for him ceaselessly. And then one day while in Milan in Italy, as Augustine sat in a friend's garden, he heard children singing a song. And one of the words that was over and over again in that song was, "Take up and read." Have no idea what song. God used that to move in Augustine's life. He opened the Bible near him, and it opened up to Romans chapter 13. And by the time he finished the sentence, he later said he was converted. He went on to become one of the greatest leaders within the early church because of the book of Romans. Martin Luther, in the late 15th century, he was a Catholic monk in Germany, and he tried to find inner peace but could not. He had done everything he could to fulfill the requirements of his Augustinian order, yet he felt a tormented man. But he had a mentor named Johann von Stupitz, who knew Luther's problem was he didn't understand the power of the gospel. So he sent him to Wittenberg to be a professor there, and the class that he was going to teach was the book of Romans. And as Luther came to Romans 1, 16 and 17, as we had shared this morning, his eyes were opened, and he became a transformed man. Out of that transformation came the great cries of that day. Scripture alone, grace alone, and faith alone. And then one more. John Wesley. John Wesley was a miserable failure as he sat in his Moravian meeting house on Aldersgate Street in London. He was listening to the reading of Luther's preface to the book of Romans. But that night, as he listened to Romans explain, Wesley's heart was strangely warmed, and he was transformed into a great force for revival in our world. Romans demonstrates the path to salvation. You've heard of the Roman road. It lets us know how we can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, how our sins can be washed away, and how we can know for sure that we're going to be in heaven forevermore. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It lets us know that there is a need in our life, that we fall short because of sin, and we all have sinned. And Romans 6:23 reminds us that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There are consequences to our sins, yet God still seeks to bless us and to incorporate us into His family. Moving on, Romans 5:8. "But God shows His love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He knew there was a problem. He knew there was a need, and He offers us the solution, and it can only be found in God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And then in Romans 10:9-10, you've heard this many a time. "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." Our God is a God of order, and there is a process to getting saved, of confession and belief. I think you've heard this before. One of the easiest things in the world to do is to become brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Then he talks about the kind of love you need to demonstrate. In Romans 12 he also says, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Romans is a book that all of us believers need to be very well equipped to know what says our Heavenly Father, to know what God is telling us. It's been said before that Matthew through John gives us the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the book of Acts gives us the gospel of the Holy Spirit. But in Romans, it gives us the gospel of God Himself and what He's letting us know. Now, as we look at these two verses that changed the lives of Martin Luther, it changed Larry into a believer of Jesus Christ. I don't know if that's your favorite verse, but I'm sure it's part of it. It's certainly in the Word of God. Not to be ashamed. It also has changed our understanding of how much God loves us. And should we not consider, why would the apostle ever think something so great, something so wonderful, and something so awesome, why would he think that it would bring shame to him? He says, I'm not ashamed of this. But are we ashamed of it? Let me ask you some questions. Have you ever been ashamed of the gospel? Now, I'm not talking about just the book, but rather its principles, its precepts, and its pronouncements that it's given. Have you ever been ashamed of it? Now, don't answer these questions, but just think to yourself, or don't answer them out loud. Have you skipped praying before your meal because people might be watching you or listening to you? Have you ever refused to share your testimony because maybe you might be embarrassed in doing so? Have you ever not gone to church, or not gone to youth fellowship, or not gone to Bible study because there was something better to do? Have you ever talked bad about your preacher, or your deacon, or your Sunday school teacher, or anybody else in our church? Have you ever held back your tithes or your offerings from God and His church for any reason? Now, if you could say yes to any one of these things, you have been ashamed of the gospel. This morning, I want to share with you some reasons that I don't think we need to be ashamed. I want to share some positive news with you. We've got a lot of don'ts, but I want to share with you some do's and reasons why we don't need to be ashamed of the gospel. And this is the first one. The gospel is good news. We've got God is living and active, sharper than any